Neither our chair nor vice chair are here tonight, so I will run the meeting. This meeting might be the last of our traditional CIC meetings. I think, you know, we about almost 8 months ago appointed a CIC steering committee to look at changing the way that we do CIC. And from that, I think I sent out an email two and a half weeks ago to everybody on CIC regarding what some of the suggested changes were. Frankly, you know, we had a lot of discussions, and I think the one thing that we wanted to do was come back here, you know, to the members one last time and talk through what our changes are, put it to a vote of members, and then potentially suspend the existing bylaws and replace them with, I guess, what you would call guidelines moving forward. We'll talk about all that. The steering committee had suggested that we clear off the agenda so we can discuss this. If we have plenty of time, I'd be happy to go through anything on the agenda after we get through this issue. But I would like to start with this. We do have a quorum, and we will start looking at the minutes of the past meeting. I will be looking for a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes. Mr. Baker makes the motion.
Mr. Matthew seconds it, having already read them online.
All right. All those in favor? All right. Don't use your voices. It's fine. We'll go with sign language.
It's a voice recorder, not a video recorder. You got to say something.
All right. So next on the agenda is the technical progress report. Just a couple things. One, AMATS was received an award for the organization Transportation for America. We were recognized in their innovative MPO report. They were recognized for our Connecting Communities initiative, which we've had now for the last few years. So we were pretty excited about that. Also, I think we will be talking about it on the next agenda, is we are starting a road diet analysis, looking at the level of traffic on different roads, especially four-lane roads, determine if there are opportunities to shrink them down to three-lane roads, potentially adding multimodal features such as bike lanes and or sidewalk, wide curb, etc. Finally, those of you that are watching, since we're nearing government shutdown, there was a $1.1 trillion spending bill on the table as of last night, and I think this afternoon. I was just reading before the meeting that they did a test vote of this bill, and it passed in the House 214 to 212.
Yeah.
So they were talking about not actually voting on it. If they don't vote on anything tonight, there will be, I guess, technically a shutdown. For us, the spending bill that was proposed doesn't really change a whole lot in 2015 calendar for our agency. It does include a Tiger Grant, a continuation of the Tiger Grant program of about $500 million. So that's obviously something we keep an eye on, the appropriations.
But do we have any projects? The other Tiger Grant was the
PARTA
system out there in Kent. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we haven't. We don't have any other.
No one has forwarded
any Tiger. We had applied. Akron had applied, I believe, but they didn't get it. I don't think, and I don't know of any others in our area.
Okay.
So, but that's really the technical progress. Are there any questions? All right. Hearing none. We will now go on to old business. The CIC Bylaws Committee recommendation. Mr. Mackey, Mr. Stockberger, Mr. Baker, and Mr. Helms all sat on the steering committee, as well as Chairman Ondecker, and they were appointed back in May to start discussing looking at our bylaws for CIC. Many people that were in the CIC didn't even know we had bylaws. They were probably at least, I don't know, 30 years old. Charged with following, using Robert's rules, creating a membership based on appointments by mayors and then also citizen volunteers. And the purpose of the CIC was to review the work of AMAT's staff and the policy committee and give feedback to the members, as many of you know. One of the things that we've talked about frequently as time has gone on is that we don't really feel like these meetings work very well for a lot of people. One, the membership is confusing and cumbersome. There's actually, you know, technically, to be able to vote, you have to attend two meetings to become a member, and then you can't, then you can't miss a meeting for the calendar year, and et cetera, et cetera. Also, using Robert's rules, we feel like, is not a great way for public involvement to run. And so we started having meetings with our steering committee about ideas for changing it, ideas about bringing more people to the committee, and ideas for how to improve the level of conversation versus kind of being a parliamentary procedure of CIC. And so with that, we proposed some new guidelines where I think the idea would be we would suspend our CIC bylaws as written and follow the guidelines for the next year and see how they work. I sent with you, with everyone, an email, but then there's also up there some sheets. Starts off with, "Dear CIC members," it's a letter. Does everybody have one? And I'll just kind of go through this, basically what was discussed and sort of the general outline of what we'd like to do with CIC, and then we can open it up for discussion. First, I think we would like the CIC meetings to be scheduled four times a year, quarterly, in January, April, July, and November. There's also a calendar that you see. We did a draft sort of plan out of what that would look like. Also, CIC meetings will be led by the staff. While we appreciate Chairman Ondecker's service, especially in the last 8 years or so, we also feel that the way these meetings run, it would be better if we had less parliament and less of sort of that chair-vice chair thing. It also allows the staff to sort of prep for the meetings, present what's necessary, etc. Also, we will get rid of membership. That's been one that I think for us is just a procedural nightmare for our staff to just know who's actually on the committee, who's not on the committee, when it's updated. And really, these are supposed to be open public meetings where people can come and give us their feedback. So we'd like to deal with the membership. We also would establish, or basically, we established a committee to help us, a subcommittee for the bylaws. What we'd like to do is establish a steering committee for the CIC. That committee would be more of an email-based committee that would be volunteer-based, self-selected, where we would be in contact with the staff to start to, probably a month before the meetings, come up with ideas for the agenda, whether it would be speakers, topics that AMATS is currently working on, also potentially how do we advertise those, how do we try to bring more people to the meetings. So let's see, yes, they would be self-selected. Also continue to hold them at the library at 6:30 here. We would create an agenda for the and distribute to the steering committee 2 weeks before our scheduled meeting so we could establish the agenda. That would be at probably the latest. We would also meet periodically with the steering committee to ensure that the agenda is going, that we're advertising the way we want, and really trying to grow our agency or our reach for the public involvement. And then for us, because there are some things we do that require public involvement, like a major amendment to the plan or the TIP, those things happen very rarely, but when they do come up, we would just schedule another meeting that would be a public involvement meeting for that specific project. So that way, that meeting would be focused on that, and it would kind of separate sort of out, allow us to focus on that versus also doing the CIC meeting. So we are recommending that we vote on this tonight. And I think I'm probably feel like I'm missing some of the explanation as to why. So if anything, if there are any whys in this that you have, I'm sure the committee also, the subcommittee, would be happy to try to answer them. But I think we believe that we really can have more productive meetings. I think another thing, I don't know if I skipped it or not, but the other thing that we would like to do is have an open period for open discussion. So at every meeting, whether it be at 7:15 or 7:30 or something, that we would have 20 minutes for just anyone can to bring items that they want to talk about. Sort of like almost like an other business, but kind of allowing more of a free flow conversation. So with that, I mean, I know that as staff, we've been looking to make changes for a long time. And I think, you know, with talking to the subcommittee, we kind of all identified some of the issues that we felt maybe were holding this committee back in terms of procedure and things like that. And so we would be recommending this for approval today. So are there any questions or any discussion points, or does any of the steering committee or subcommittee members want to make any comments? Or
questions are welcome.
When you say no requirements for membership, mm-hmm. so no, like certain elected officials sign people to, you know, attend these meetings,
right?
So that wouldn't be required.
Exactly. And like, I think you probably remember we've had multiple conversations where most members don't assign any, you know, there's a very few. I think Summit County is good, Summit County Engineer does, but there are a lot of people that just don't, and it's not, hasn't proven to be effective. And then it also, we kind of talked about how it sort of blurs the line between us, you know, are you sending sort of
somebody just from
a henchman, so like the henchman, or, you know, if, I mean, you know, in a cruel world, someone could, you know, plant people in the audience or things like that, which obviously that doesn't happen here, but we just feel like that's sort of an outdated procedure that doesn't really have a lot of, you know.
Yeah, well, and secondly to that, the membership requirement of, like, having to come to two meetings before and then on the third meeting you can vote, I think we came to the consensus that, like, we believe that inhibits people from showing up to one meeting and coming here and actually getting information and being part of the process. Because when you come in the first time, your voice doesn't matter, and you don't know what you're getting into. You're getting into Robert's rules and a bunch of parliament.
And our agendas, I mean, and what we give our TAC and policy are, you know, they're pretty technical. Or, you know, resolution such and such, amendment number such and such. And, you know, we've always felt or feared that that's an obstacle for someone being interested in talking about transportation issues. And I think we feel like our goal for the CIC is to be a forum for citizens to talk about transportation issues. So if somebody wants to talk about bikes for an hour, they're more than welcome to. Or if they want to talk about the trolley or buses or, you know, and I think we've run up, especially in the last few years, where some of that stuff got stunted just, you know, by the way the agendas were shaped and by the way we ran the meetings parliamentarily.
For those that have ever looked at the back of the policy committee, these are the mayors or an alternate that they decided to send. This is where the decisions are made, where they decide we can't fund that this year, we'll go with this town. You'll notice that some mayors or their alternates never show up at the policy meeting for inputs. And where there's an alternate for this committee, they sometimes don't show either. In fact, for the past year, Kent, Northfield, Boston Heights, Barberton, Silver Lake, Norton, whatever, they just don't show at this meeting. So that's an indicator that I think the system is outdated. You should have more or less, if you're interested, you'll come to the meeting and have something to give for an input. All this stuff, of course, is if you signed up by email, or you can get it by mail, the packages of all that we're going to discuss are available prior to the meeting. And you can review these prior to the meeting and raise issues. Or bring an issue if you don't see something being addressed. But we think it would go faster that way if we sat and discussed how this group could operate.
Curtis, I have just a comment. I don't see anything with these that I would disagree with in terms of that. The only thing I think is that, at least from my standpoint, is I like to have more frequent information from you.
Right, versus less frequent.
Rather than doing this quarterly, quarterly is fine
yeah.
for a meeting, but is there a possibility that you could set up an email
yes.
newsletter or and, a blog or something?
Yeah, and I think that's what we would like to do is we would like to do everything more digitally. And I think obviously, too, like what we've talked about with creating some kind of self-selected steering committee, like, I mean, what we ended up doing, quite frankly, was with the group that was in the subcommittee, was we were meeting at Panera almost monthly, you know, and doing all this stuff. And I think we realized that those conversations were just as productive as a CIC meeting. And so I think we see the opportunity to do more stuff maybe like that also through email and discussing things. So, and I mean, the one thing, too, is that we'll continue to send out the mail every time we do a, you know, because we do 6 meetings a year. So we'll continue, the CIC will continue to get the mail-outs when we do the mail-out for the TAC and policy, but I think we would have 4 formal meetings and then potentially look for other venues and avenues to communicate information. Anybody else have any reactions or thoughts? Or people think it's a good idea? I mean, I really think it's a good idea for, you know, sitting in these meetings for the last nine years. I think a lot of people have been here longer than that. But, you know, I think this is something that we really have the opportunity to do something to be more beneficial. I feel like sometimes we've gotten into where we have maybe a good discussion and it gets stunted, or we, you know, get onto a topic and, you know, we just quickly get off of it even though someone maybe had a comment or wanted to go the next step. So I think this allows us to maybe have more open conversation and dialogue.
The thought of the quarterly meeting was that it would give the staff a little more time to prepare. I'm not going to say it's none of it's unimportant, but really draw something out that the citizens should be involved in or get their opinion on, rather than like they've got 3 or 4 resolutions here to pass coming up. Well, I guess it's good that we know that, and we can, anybody asks us, you know, we know what's happening in Barberton or Kent or Akron, you know, why they're doing spending this money on safe streets to schools, stuff like that. But we thought the open agenda would get more comments and more ideas flowing.
And I think I don't have it in front of me, but we did send out an email, the draft, like almost what the January agenda would look like, you know, focusing on something like that. You gave me 2 of them.
The first, we got one in January.
Heather. almost, you know, what we would discuss, sort of like road diets, the upcoming analysis that we're working on, demographics. And I think the other thing that we talked about was allowing the citizens to help us, like, to see documents almost before they're published. So instead of the idea of, like, here it is, approve it. More like, we're going to do this. What do you think we should look at when we do it?
More looking down the road rather than saying, oh, here's what's been done, and we just sort of look at it now.
Can you use your website to publish what you do, most of this stuff,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but do it ahead of time like
yes.
this?
Yes, yeah.
Give that as someplace that members of the CIC can get to and
yeah.
talk about long before you get to it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we would be able to
create like a CIC portal on the website.
Yeah, and I think one of the first missions of when we, and we can talk about it a lot tonight too, is when we go to this setting, is how do we want to do that? How do we want to have a steering committee? What's the best method? Is it using, you know, our website? Is it creating some ability, you know, some using other technology to share information, et cetera, as well? But obviously our website's the easiest one because we've got it, we've got the space, et cetera. Heather could probably talk more about that as we get to it. But is there any other discussion? Any motions on the table?
It appears there needs to be a motion, right?
Motion approved. A motion to suspend the bylaws first?
Yes. Motion. Yes. Okay. Second. A motion.
So Mr. Baker makes the motion.
Mr. Mackey seconds.
Any discussion?
Suspend the bylaws.
Do we need to arbitrarily say until next December? Do we need to have a yearly review? You know, if it's not more than a 5-minute discussion.
That's not a bad idea. I mean,
Until January of 2016.
Okay. So, Mr. Baker, would you like to alter your motion? I feel like we should do this officially.
Yeah.
If we're going to do procedure one last time, let's do it.
Suspend the bylaws until December 2015, until further review can be made, whether or not to continue with the new format or go back to the old.
Seconds.
Second.
Mr. Mackey. Discussion. All those in favor?
Yay.
Aye.
It's unanimous. Now, do we want a motion to say put to approve, like to do these guidelines? You think
we don't have to suspend them?
Well, that's true. Oh my God, I'm free. Well, thanks everyone. I know, like I said, for the subcommittee that worked on this. We really did change something that's been institutionalized for the last 30 years. So congratulations. I appreciate everyone's help in discussing this and providing some feedback. So at that point, I would say for all interested citizens, take a look at our calendar for next year. And I do think we will be talking about the road diet analysis and potentially some demographics in January. The other thing that we're going to start working on that AMATS would like citizen input on is our advertising. Dustin put these together as suggestions, but we know that our ads are kind of boring and I don't know, how would you describe them?
Non-existent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you can't find them, they're not existent. But I thought, Dustin put together some ideas of ways to maybe make it a little bit flashier, and I think also you've discussed the idea that print might not always be the best way to advertise, especially in this day and age, and so we are looking for ideas and thoughts of how to advertise differently. I think, print will continue to be a portion of that. I mean, column inches are getting more and more expensive, it seems like. And so we'd like to find other ways. I think we'd like to take advantage of social networks and, social media, et cetera. But I think even just changing the fonts and stuff would probably be a pretty big help for at least the newspaper portion.
Are you required to use newspapers for your...
I don't actually know if we are. Technically, we have a public participation plan that says everything that we're, kind of holds us to our own. And I think right now we are, but part of suspending the bylaws, the next step is actually the staff will start rewriting the public participation plan to kind of fit in.
Does the government require
it? No, we are only required to, we have to do public input, but we have a lot of leeway on how we go about it. The only thing that I think we have to do is make sure that we are...
Available.
Well, and across all races and, so we actually got dinged because in our from FHWA because our percentage of Asians in, I don't remember where it was, might have been North Hill, was high enough that they thought we needed to do more specific advertising to, and there was only less than 1% of population or whatever it was, but so we have to worry about that, or we'll do in a minority magazine, things like that, but it's not required by print, I don't believe.
It's not required for bilingual.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult thing to advertise.
Yeah. And we have our little translator on the website and all that.
Could we put stuff into PSAs, various radio stations?
I don't really know how that works. I mean,
write a press release. They don't have to read it.
Yeah.
But they might, just like a newspaper. If you give out a news release,
yeah,
they may or may not do that, depending upon who you get to.
Yeah.
Because they really don't do PSAs for free, I should say.
Right, right.
Yeah, if you did a press release and
maybe
got it.
Yeah. And I feel like that would work if we knew what we were, you know, if we had a topic and we knew what was going to be, we could say, this is what we're talking about, we're encouraging the public to come to this, you know.
Road diets are a good topic for that. I mean, that's been the term used with the NFL project even recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Channel 5 just did a story on it today or yesterday.
It was in the Beacon Journal today.
Beacon Journal again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're saying road diet, okay, what the heck is it? That's why I use that headline when I was writing it up. Yeah, that's an excellent thing there.
That would be a good topic for you to put on a website, a big description of what it is and examples of it.
Yeah.
Reference if you're advertising any newspapers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that's a pertinent topic for the, especially with everything that's going on right now. I think our next step is us as the people that are attending this, like, let's figure out how to bring some friends and understand a little bit more about what's going on with road diets and transportation. So anybody has any ideas on participation, it can be as easy as asking somebody to come with you. So.
And they won't be afraid this time around.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about scaring them off.
At this point, I mean, I guess I assume we'd have more discussion or something. I don't know why I did, but we can talk about, are people interested in what was on the mail out this time? We could go through any of that. Or do anybody have any issues they want to discuss?
What are we going to do with the $580,000 that AMATS is getting back in loans?
Well, let me start over. Well, damn it, Bill.
I already corrected page 24 type of that lawyer.
Yes. Yeah. So, that went into my bank account. No. One of the things that that ODOT has been challenging us to do as an agency is spend money faster, get it on the street sooner, and not have large carryovers of our federal money for infrastructure. This last year, ODOT examined all the MPO's programs, and they identified ones that were underperforming and ones that were overperforming. And the ones that were underperforming, they just took the money away. Took a couple $1 million away from other MPOs and then sub-allocated them to the MPOs that were overperforming. AMATS was overperforming, so they gave us $580,000 to go back into our program, which is great.
Put your bid in now to get your street repaid.
Yeah, but what really ends up happening is because one of the reasons we're overperforming is because we are over-programmed in our years. So really, this just makes the negative balance of funds that we're showing right now, makes that balance smaller. So it's kind of just going to roll into the existing projects because we already have, you know, we have 37 million dollars planned of projects and $20 million every 2 years allocation. So. That's, you know, so it kind of is just going to go into
it. Is this going to go into one particular project to get it moving faster? Is it shovel ready like when we had?
Yeah, no, it's not. It will just go, it'll just kind of hit our balance and be used as needed.
This year?
No, it'll probably be used in 2016. Well, you know, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it might happen this year since we still have the fourth quarter construction season.
Right.
But if not, it would probably be in the fiscal year 2016, which is July.
And we will use it fast enough then, so we won't be under.
Yeah, and that was the thing. When they gave it back, it wasn't like you had to use it in 2015. It wasn't like the stimulus where they gave you the money that you have to spend it by this period.
Right.
So for us, really, it's more of a feather in the cap. I mean, it's not going to – it doesn't allow us really to do one extra project, unfortunately, because these projects take a lot of time to develop, but – it does help our bottom line and allows us, and I think gives us the confidence to keep kind of running the program the way we've been running it. So.
Okay, then that's on page 27, loan return. You don't have that PIB document, I suppose, on your laptops?
What?
PID, program number?
Yeah.
Oh,
I had a question on 99051 Akron money, but I don't think it's, you don't have that whole document, do you?
I don't know if we've got the, what's the PID number?
99051 Akron money, what my note was.
Was this a resolution or?
No, this is something in your big long document you put up online or with everything else.
Well, what was the, what were the limits of the project?
I don't know. Page 70, 99051.
Hey,
hold on.
This is an online.
Online.
I suggest that you break a PDF up into several smaller ones, so you don't have to go paging through.
Yeah. Oh, the mail outs, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean the mail outs that we send out?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this was in the mail out. It's a pretty big document.
It's on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
Oh, thinking. Yeah. The whole. You were actually looking at the TIP document?
Yeah. You put it out, I read it. That's
right,
the typo.
Tell me the
99051. 99051. Page 70 on your document. It's something to do with Akron money. Akron project.
But you don't know what the project was?
No. Can you see it on there?
Well, you can look it up, and I'll call you tomorrow.
So what's the question?
Well, the question, I think the question was, is Akron going to pay the money, or is it coming out of AMATS? Is it locally funded, or is it, like, coming out of us for some reason? How about I think, without seeing the document again, I don't know. I'll call you tomorrow. I'll look it up again.
Yeah.
Page 75, you had new vehicles. It might have been mass transit. But it doesn't say whether these are going to be propane or electric.
Well, it's probably, my guess is it's CNG. It'd be CNG.
Be propane.
That Grace bus buy, that said CNG on it.
Bus buy?
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't say what type of bus.
Electric like the bus brand?
No, like how they're being propelled. Diesel, gasoline, CNG, electric.
Great Transit CNG bus buy.
On page 75.
Isn't that CNG is clean natural gas?
Propane.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go. I answered it.
Yeah, good. All right, I'll go back and look them up again. Give you guys a call.
Shoot us.
Are you sure?
You know what? Don't.
We just nailed that last one, so.
Don't call. Just email. No. Just email.
I would like under new business. There is an article about costly crashes, and for those that have watched AMATS here, we have this intersection crash report and highway segment crash report. And I don't know that our elected officials as a group are interested or excited or worried for their constituents. Of course, if they're in a crash, they may not come and vote for them. But anyway, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration said we lost $871 billion. That's $277 in economic loss and $594 in damages, injuries, and loss of life. Drunk driving is 18%. Speeding was or driving too fast for conditions, 21%. Distracted driving, 17%. So since we've had this crash study report where intersections are highly crash involved, is that a good term? I would request that AMATS bring to the policy group, if people can't see the stoplights, that's one issue. I don't know if you can see this 12-foot high robot that was put up at an intersection. People stop when a robot goes red or goes green. It's different. People are getting too used to, well, I've always crossed this railroad track, there's never a train here, I'm just going to go over it. By changing the environment, you make the driver more aware. So AMATS could look at other ways of stopping or controlling traffic other than what we've been doing for
does
the
past. Does anyone
want
an alternative traffic cop?
Alternative traffic cop.
Anybody want to bring the bylaws back?
You want input? Get input.
I don't know if a robot is.
If it gets their attention, it'll
traffic calming.
Yeah.
Certainly.
There you go.
We're offering a $50 million in
Does anybody want a 2035 transportation outlook?
No, I've got hundreds of them.
I know. I went to a conference. Anybody want one of these? If you don't, then it goes to the recycle bin.
What file were you looking for online?
Whatever they just mailed out like a week ago.
I was just looking on our interactive
TIP
on our website.
Yeah. So I don't know. He might have been looking at the actual TIP document that would be under funding on the website.
What he was looking at was a PDF where you got a short listing of the changes. I imagine that's what's happening.
What page?
You said 70.
I said 70 for the. My question mark was the propane vehicles or electric vehicles. I think it was mass transit vehicles. There's a comment about getting new vehicles.
One thing I would like to draw attention to in our mail out was attachment 5B, which was our mid-block crossing analysis.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're really happy with the way this came out. One of the things that we've looked at, I think, is, obviously people like to do the path of least resistance. Sometimes there's a lot of situations where, it's random spots where you don't have a lot of generators of people, but there are some locations where I think we've identified that there's enough pedestrian activity that would merit some analysis for potentially a road for potentially a mid-block crossing. So what we did in this document even is have a list of locations. I think there's a map in there as well that shows some of the suggested crossing locations. Obviously, a lot of them are in Akron, where you've got a lot of people, I think, that still are walking in the higher density areas. But they're all over the place, too. And I think that's something that we're, we even have one on, suggesting on State Route 18 in Copley and back. Places like that where, people are trying to cross the street, get to a different location and things like that. We showed this to TAC today. We got a little pushback. The county engineer actually voted nay on approving this document. He felt that that mid-block crossings were dangerous, that in most situations you don't want to encourage pedestrians to cross the roadway where there isn't an intersection. I think our staff pushback is that people are crossing anyway and that we need to make an environment, in those locations where there's enough mass that we need to make it safe enough for people to cross. But it still was a good debate, I think, from the standpoint of, his argument was that cars do not expect for pedestrians to be walking in the middle of the road at night and something, and that, just having a crosswalk there would potentially endanger people because it would show that, hey, come cross the street here.
Is there going to be any form of signs or signals?
Well, that's what the report goes into, is that, we didn't recommend treatments for the mid-blocks. But we talked about what were the best practices. And I think what they found was that when you just put a crosswalk down, your improvement's really nominal. Relative to, if you do the flashing lights, or if you have an actuated signal in a mid-block, which is the best kind of mid-block, that's the most effective. So, this report was meant to be the 30,000-foot view of sort of identifying locations with the suggestions, but we're hoping our communities kind of take it and look at it and think about it. I mean, this was a big problem, I know, especially in Ravenna. Chestnut Street, where 44 is, from 59 North, heading to the new high school, and then they've got some Circle K on the other side of the road, and kids just diagonally cross, straight line, from the highest point down there, and they've, and they don't know what to do about it exactly, because it's just not safe. So I think we looked at situations like that, especially, obviously school children type things would be priorities, and I think commercial retail areas too.
Another example of that is Route 82, where the bike and hike trail crosses. Pedestrian counts. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know who installed it, but they installed a yellow blinking light that's triggered by the person crossing.
Yeah.
And what it's done is that the cars don't know when they see the blinking yellow light, will it stop? which they might have done without the light and seeing somebody in the crosswalk.
Yeah.
Or to continue on and saying that just go slow.
Right.
So it's
personal. Yeah.
Up in Twinsburg, we had a we bought a lot across from one of the administrative units, and we got the city approval. We painted a crosswalk in there. We put sidewalks to it, a little wait area for buses. But we got one of those pedestrian crossing signs anchored right in the middle, right on the middle line. I mean, you cannot, it says stop pedestrian. You cannot miss that sign going up or down that two-lane road. So if somebody's entering a walk, you stop. It's pretty effective.
That's what's on 2nd Street in Cuyahoga Falls,
yeah.
too.
Well, I know Hudson has it, too, where for the farmer's market and all that.
Where it's always there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's been knocked out a couple times, too. One of those, like, little, you know, waist high ones.
We also have a 25-mile-an-hour speed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think they can be, the sign itself can be effective. I don't think it always has to be, I think that's what we were trying to say, is depending on the location, is the, finding the context for the solution is really important.
Buy a robot.
Or you can just buy a robot.
this report that you put out, that's strictly a suggestion to the cities.
Yeah, we can't, what we would like to see is that when they apply for a project, we could say, we could help fund it. But the reality is paint's not cheap, but for communities, this is a really low-cost thing. I mean, a lot of them have their own sign shops, have their own, street departments. They really could be done pretty quickly in areas that really need them. I mean, other than if you did something that was actuated. But so I think we'd either like to see communities take it into their own hands, or, as we have projects, using a little to make sure some of these happen.
I went to a conference. Local Public Agency Planning Conference all the local engineers and government officials, here's how you should really plan your roads, your access. Something that they came up with through the state called Simplified Bridge Access. Process. So if you've got an old bridge, most of them were built during the 30s around Ohio. It's been a common infrastructure problem. If it's a simple bridge, 20 to 65 feet long, and you don't have to buy any right of way, you get these pre-stressed hollow girders, and they prep the end. You take the bridge apart, close the road, of course. Take the bridge apart, the old one, put in your new piers. Of course, you don't want to interfere with the water flow or EPA gets on you or whatever. You drop these pre-made forms in, bolt everything together, put up your fence on the side, put your blacktop on there, paint it, and you're done. So it really speeds up replacing simple bridges.
Is that the composite bridges?
No, I don't know. I think it's pre-stressed concrete box. Pre-stressed concrete box beam bridge only is what they're going to give you. But they can be made to that 20 to 65 foot length, and in she goes. Makes it, I guess, easy for all the engineers and stuff like that.
Is it less expensive as well?
faster. I don't know about less expensive.
Faster is less expensive.
Yeah, faster is less expensive.
Labor costs.
One thing I learned there was for local governments was. You're going to put a project in, and then you let the project for $1 million or whatever. It's going to take 180 days. Whoever is the engineer on the job has to send in a daily report. How much was done? How many yards of concrete were pumped that day? How many yards of gravel were put in that day? How many man hours of labor were accounted for on that day? And if you don't keep that up, the auditor comes back and starts really asking tough questions. Very interesting that they have this auditor control and you're matching, because the guy who bid on the job, the company who bid on the job said, yeah, we can put this in for this amount of money, and here's what we're going to use. So many yards of concrete, so much steel, this and that and everything else. Erosion control. Very interesting program. So if you ever see one of these LPA things coming up next year,
yeah, they do a silence.
It's an all-day deal. You got to go out and get your own lunch without it. Woodstown in the medical facility, they have a good, lunch area there. You can go do stuff. But it's not a roof. It's a good learning process for those of us who don't build roads every day. Draft version of Summit County Access Management. This is a good one, because I live in a historical part of the falls. It says, don't build a road where you got the road this way, and instead of having a straight intersection, you got one offset and one offset, so people are turning and they don't really see the other car coming out. It leads to more accidents. Either space it out so people get a chance to turn and see other traffic, or better yet, make it a four-way intersection that everybody's used to. I suppose it would reduce crashes, but you can't rebuild the older part of the fall. So, there's other stuff in here about site plan review. Got two copies if anybody wants to take it home and get some training. And also from there, Access Ohio 2040, 4-card packs. Anybody want to take a card pack home? Put them in the kids' Christmas socks.
What is it?
Something they'd never expect.
Playing cards?
No, well, sort of. They're cards.
Throw me one of those. I want to see it.
You want one?
Yeah.
No, you got to give it to your kid.
I'm going
to
open it. I want to know
if they have one or just act like this. 2035 plan.
Okay.
You take one?
Yeah.
Just ideas about, I guess, access.
Hey! Gum!
You got a piece of gum, too.
Hey!
Right, you get gum with that one.
I can't get this to my 5-month-old now.
Oh, look, I got asset management.
Oh, we're going to have a really fun game later.
These are like flashcards. Flash cards, things to learn, things about transportation. It was a good class. Anybody want to let a road design? 2 free copies.
This might be the silliest thing ever.
No? All right. Go on the recycle.
I'll trade you a future funding for an asset manager.
Mr. Helm.
I would like to make kind of one last formal motion of appreciation for our Mundecker. Our past chairman. Many years.
He does. He has been a lot.
Not decades.
He's gone down to the policy committee, of course.
As long as I've worked here, he has been the chairman.
Has anybody heard from him at all? I'm curious how he's doing.
Were you able to get one? We had a listing of all the members who have attended this in the past year. We divvied that up to call or send a letter to or email, say, do you want to be the new chair? Do you want this and that? We had one possible. But then we got around to deciding we're just going to suspend the bylaws and have open meetings and bring stuff up that we think is important or that should be forward in the policy.
I think what we will do is give him a plaque certificate type thing to thank him for his services.
Thanks.
Chair.
More stuff.
But
wasn't there another meeting recently? Did you guys have like an annual meeting?
Oh yeah.
We could talk about that for a minute.
We don't have to beat a dead horse either.
No, I'm just saying. I thought that was really important completely different than any other transportation organizations doing for their annual meetings.
Do tell.
Oh. I was there. I was there, but I hadn't gone to bed that night. Before I had a rough night.
It was physically there.
Yeah, I was physically there. No, it was really, really interesting. It was based around placemaking at David Giffel's, author of The Hard Way on Purpose, and Peter Kageyama, who's the author of For the Love of Cities. Peter is an internationally renowned speaker. Basically, what?
No.
Do I know too much?
No. No, Seth and I just...
You guys okay?
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Continue.
I'll
tell you after the mic turns off.
He is an internationally renowned speaker, and on the idea of placemaking and linking together the ideas of placemaking and transportation and how all these things interconnect. I was awake-ish, but it was awesome.
AMATS has both speeches on your website.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to show Peters.
Oh, you want to show Peters?
No.
All right. But Dave Giffels you did, because I started watching him.
Copyright.
It is international now.
Yeah, but David Giffels.
David was the best part of that day. I mean,
he said that there's a problem with, Cleveland and Akron. I don't know if anyone's aware of that.
No.
Yeah, 40 minutes to Cleveland, 2 hours in Akron.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a really
over got that. You know,
he had practically somebody crying in the front of the audience, laughing so hard.
Oh,
so,
yeah, he was good.
Yeah, it was good. Well, I also liked his ideas on Summit Lake and how what an underutilized asset that is for the city of Akron. That just any other city that has a lake in its city limits, that would be prime real estate. And,
yeah. Somebody else spoke too that was really good. Can't remember.
Josh McManus.
McManus.
No, it was somebody else.
No,
it wasn't you.
There was a really cool presentation on AMATS Year in Review that Curtis did on
Prezi. Yeah, Prezi was a pain for the first time.
Yeah.
It's always been even for us.
Probably the last.
To revisit what you did over the last year. What's going on? Yeah.
And I gave that presentation to a group of engineering students at U of A, and they were impressed that I used Prezi. They were like, whoa, you used Prezi.
They're like, your content, not so much. But
yeah, exactly. I'm pretty proud of myself. You young whippersnappers.
But another note, if anyone is unaware, that was the most well-attended annual meeting we've ever had.
Yeah, so it was a big crowd.
It was extremely crowded, so in that respect, it was a success.
Just had over 200.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well over. We've never had over 200.
We usually have about 165.
Right.
It was great.
I've never been to one of these LPA meetings without a rooftop, but that seemed to be well-attended by quite a few organizations, political bodies, whatever, from this area. But that sense of place was interesting. The example is, New York City. Well, what? You got the Statue of Liberty, and you got whatever, Broadway and Times Square. Everybody knows what New York City is. There's a sense of place. And if you say St. Louis, you got the Arch, the gateway to the West, the famous transportation crossing, sense of place. So then the question is, well, what do you say for Akron? What's the sense of place for Akron? What edifice, what building, what activity gives Akron its sense of place that everybody in the U.S. would know? Tire Town?
Rubber.
Well, rubber goods. You say polymers, that's more technical, but.
Although, honestly, I think those are things that you learn about when you come to Akron. Now. I don't think anybody that's 25 or younger really knows of Akron as,
Tire Town. Yeah. Well, he was quoting all of like San Francisco, Fisherman's Wharf, Alcatraz, all that, Golden Gate, L.A. You name a big town, you have a sense of place of what that town is, and some visual image of the town.
Somehow this is going to go back to have robots.
Yeah, robots. We're going to have a robot everywhere.
It's big there.
Now, I was up at Grand Rapids in a warehouse, setting up a warehouse, and they had this annual art contest. And 1 year, the guy that won it made a Loch Ness monster in floating parts, and he put it in the Grand Rapids River, and it won the contest. They thought so much of it, they took that art, they buy the winning art, and they put it in a small lake or large pond at their city zoo. And you have this Loch Ness thing there year-round. All around town, when you go around town, there are bronze statues, like a guy sitting here leaning on a park bench, but it's a bronze. And you go all around. You go out to shopping centers, and there's a kid playing with a dog. It's a bronze. They have all these bronze things around Grand Rapids. And that's the one thing I remember about Grand Rapids. Boy, this is an art city. This is really neat. Until you go there, you don't know it's there. But everywhere you go, there's a bronze statue somewhere, somebody doing something, some kid, some activity.
Has anyone read about the Knight Foundation's art?
Oh, yeah.
Inside Out program?
That's the one that the art museum is putting up.
Yeah, and they've got their pilot piece out on Main Street, Raphael Gleitzman from 1932. But it's on the corner I think they actually put it too far down on Main Street because the angle is actually, but you know, it's supposed to kind of be, it's actually a painting of the landmark or the savings and loan built, the savings and loan, First Merit Tower, and a bunch of stuff that's missing because of Cascade Plaza. It's actually one of my favorite paintings, but it's really cool, and it's all, you know, weatherized so it can be outside and handle the snow, and but eventually they want to put those in the neighborhoods and throughout where you almost could do like an art walk through the city looking at painting. And I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, like Grand Rapids bronze statues. Have art scattered throughout your area. And
I think the important point of it all was that walkability is what makes a sense of place in a city. So that all that stuff is stuff that you don't see from a car.
Yeah.
Which is why you meet downtown.
Right.
Apartments.
Right.
Right. And
living.
Which brings us back to mid-block crosswalks.
What about the better block stuff we're doing?
Better block stuff, I mean...
On the road. It's going.
Yeah. It's I think, tentatively scheduled for May 16th. I haven't been as involved in the meetings lately. I don't know, Rick, I know you were involved.
Yeah.
If there's any other, I mean, I know it's going to be North Hill.
It's going to be North Hill. We had over 100 people show up for the participation meeting. Basically, right now, we're just trying to keep momentum on it through the winter, which isn't the easiest thing in the world. But another thing that I'm doing that pertains a little bit to the Better Block, but also to with Knight Foundation, the, I don't know if you guys heard of the Akron to Detroit trip. I was able to be on that. Now we're doing Akron to Akron trips. So I'll be leading a neighborhood walk in Firestone Park on December 20th. And it's another one of those things to just get people out. So it's at noon at the community center that it starts, if anybody's interested. It'll be pretty cool. But
how are they how are you promoting that?
Social media. Okay. Basically, yeah, we have an Eventbrite, so please sign up. We've got it capped at 50 people because it's really hard to command more than 50 people walking around the neighborhood. Really more than 20, but, you know, we'll get through it. So, but yeah, it'll be a really, really good event, and that's one of the things that we're doing to try and keep momentum through the winter and actually get people out in the winter a little bit. And we'll have hot chocolate and all of that.
Snowshoes.
Snowshoes. I hope so. Lovely, lovely neighborhood in the snow. We look better in the summer with the, we have a lot of trees.
Yeah, that's true. It is a pretty place in the spring and summer. So anybody else have any issues or comments or anything they'd like to discuss?
One thing that's come up in the Active Transportation Committee is that Andy Davis is setting up a meeting in January that's going to be with the Knight Foundation to propose pedestrian and bicycle usage projects that they might be willing to fund.
Well, and we received the money to do the Switching Gears conference from Knight, and they've basically, you know, given us approval to look at doing some small infrastructure stuff with the rest of the money, which we're looking at putting in some more bike racks and stuff, bike facility storage stuff throughout the downtown area, which we're kind of excited about, but trying to also do it as a public art type bike rack. I don't know if anyone's been to Kent lately and seen the public art bike racks that they've done throughout the city. They're phenomenal. They're, you know, they cost between like $2,000 and $4,000, and they kind of did it thematically throughout downtown. So, you know, like in front of the music shop, there's a music note that's a bike rack. In front of the organic food store, there's like a metal or an iron, cast iron piece of corn, like a corn stalk with a little glass corn coming out. I mean, it's just like really creative, different kind of stuff that it serves like the two functions. They put stickers on them too that say like, this is a city bike rack, so people know that they can also use it, and, you know. But it's really, it's neat. I mean, I think all those little things, and like going back to Peter Kagiyama and stuff, he said to think that, you know, people identify with places because of little things like that, and that's important. So,
getting back to that sense of place, you know, when you think of big cities, you see something that they're famous for or that they're doing.
Like robots.
Like robots.
Bronze and granite.
I'm in another bronze robots. I'm in another organization. We're discussing reaching our younger members.
Younger members, and
we realize that a lot of these younger members text. They don't read the Beacon Journal. They don't listen to the radio. They may not even watch TV. They don't have a clue a snowstorm is coming unless somebody texts them.
My phone actually tells me.
Yeah, well, you get an app, not get apps.
Oh, apps. It comes with it.
But we've come to the realization that even if we send out our monthly newsletter, they're probably not reading it. And we need to have, and we're trying to work up a way to come up with a short burst message that would maybe list the important parts.
Something that's maybe like 140 characters.
Yeah.
Right. Like Twitter?
Like Twitter. Catch Twitter, you know.
But you got to learn how to use the phone first.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're not using phones. They use texts. That's how they communicate. They don't use any other type of communication.
A phone or an iPad or an Android or something.
Yeah, they've got all the latest things to walk around with. And in our schools, in our Chicago Falls schools, they have the blackboards are gone. They have the overhead projector and the whiteboard. Yep. Everything gets shown that way.
Smart boards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can draw on it and do things. And then there's the
overhead projectors. What are those?
Yeah, right. Like that thing there.
All right. Well, overhead. With that. Thanks everybody for coming on this momentous occasion. We don't even need
a motion to adjourn. We're done. We're out.